Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. I'm Scott Thomas, pastor at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and I'm grateful you've joined me today for this conversation. This episode begins a brand new five-week series we're calling Built to Last, God's Design for Family and Marriage. Over the next several weeks, we're going to slow down and listen carefully to what God's Word says about marriage, family, and the kind of relationships He intends to shape His people. Now, let me say right off the bat, this series, it's not just for married couples, okay? This will benefit singles, engaged couples, parents and grandparents, widows and widowers, and for those who carry joy from their family story, and even those who have pain related to these topics, it's for you all. Because family and marriage touch all of us, and more importantly, they matter deeply to God. So regardless of what season or stage of life that you're in, this series is for you because family and marriage touch us all. Now, we live in a moment when marriage is often treated as optional, temporary, or redefinable. Marriage is something that people want to say is questionable. Family is frequently viewed as a social construct rather than a divine design. And as a result, many people both inside and outside the church are asking honest questions. Does marriage still matter? Is God's design outdated? And what if my experience doesn't match the ideal? So today, and then over the next 4 weeks, we're not going to necessarily start with cultural opinions or personal preferences. We're going to start and stay with Scripture. Because if anything in our lives is going to be built to last, it must be shaped by the Word of God. Now, today's episode lays the foundation. We're going back to the very beginning, to Genesis. Specifically, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, which is our memory verse for the week, to see God's original design for marriage. Now, before we read the verse, let's ask an important question. Why Genesis? And the reason we go to Genesis, and the reason that this design is laid out for us in Genesis, is because marriage is not a human invention or a cultural accident, nor is it a social experiment. Marriage is a divine institution designed by God Himself before sin entered the world. Genesis 1 and 2 show us creation as God intended it to be. There's no brokenness yet. There's no shame, no conflict, no power struggle. But what we see there is design, a clear, purposeful, and good design. And that matters. Because when we talk about marriage today, we're often trying to define it in a world that's already fractured by sin. But Genesis reminds us that God's design comes before our distortions. So let's hear the word of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the scripture says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is one verse, 21 words in English, and yet it forms the backbone of the Bible's teaching on marriage, from Genesis to Jesus to Paul. Jesus quotes this verse in the gospel, Paul echoes it in Ephesians chapter 5, and the church has returned to this verse for centuries now. Genesis 2:24 shows us God's design for marriage, and it gives us three movements that I want us to explore today: leaving, cleaving, and becoming one flesh. Before we break those down, notice how the verse begins with the word therefore. That word points us back to what came before it. God creating Adam, declaring that it's not good for a man to be alone, then forming Eve and bringing her to the man. Notice that God didn't say that man's not good. Rather, what He says, it's not good for him to be alone. And then He creates Eve from Adam. Marriage begins with God's initiative, not with human loneliness. God is the architect. As such, our main motivation for marriage should not be because we're lonely. It should be because God's design. This means that marriage, because of when we see marriage taking place within the scripture narrative, it means that marriage has meaning before it has feelings, purpose before preference, and design before desire. And that's important because when we disconnect marriage from God's design, it eventually collapses under expectations it was never meant to carry. Marriage isn't primarily about self-fulfillment. It's about covenant faithfulness. It's not just about finding someone who completes you, as you might have heard and even said. It's about becoming someone who reflects God's covenant love to another person. So let's break this verse down. Three movements that we see in this verse: leaving, cleaving, and becoming one flesh. The first is leaving, a new primary loyalty. Genesis 2:24 begins, "A man shall leave his father and his mother." All right? It can feel like this is speaking to abandonment. But that's not at all what Scripture says. Scripture consistently commands honor towards father and mother. What it does mean is a shift in primary allegiance. Marriage establishes a new family unit, a new priority, a new responsibility. And this is where many marital tensions quietly begin, when emotional, financial, or decision-making loyalty remains divided outside of the marriage. God's design's clear. When a man and a woman marry, their relationship becomes the primary human relationships. Parents are still honored, but the spouse comes first. And this isn't necessarily about geographical relocation, it's about relational realignment. Relational realignment. This means decisions are now made together, loyalties are reordered, and boundaries are established. Very important that we understand this, and there are ample examples of marriages that have been frustrated or even failed because loyalty has not been reestablished, allegiance hasn't been placed on the marriage unit. Decisions aren't necessarily made together. They're made by those outside of the marriage and then put onto the marriage, and the marriage doesn't have an opportunity to thrive. When couples don't have the ability, because of outside influences, when couples don't have the ability to make decisions together, what happens is they don't have the opportunity to learn how to make decisions. They don't have the opportunity to learn how to win or how to fail together, because there's always someone outside of the marriage that's robbing them of beautiful formational moments. We need boundaries in our marriage. When I'm counseling couples that in pre-marriage settings, I'll tell them that they need boundaries. They need boundaries for their marriage, and they need boundaries that they respect and that others are aware of so that they can respect them. And one of the humorous ways that we can acknowledge that boundary, and sometimes we'll talk about this depending on the setting, but sometimes I'll tell couples, listen, you need to let your parents know that your home is your home, not their home. And when you establish your marriage home, you need to let them know, hey, don't just drop by, particularly in the first several months of us being married, because we're going to be doing married people stuff and we don't want you walking in on that. Now, they usually get the point. And sometimes families need to be told that exact thing. Hey, listen, we'd love to have you, but if you're coming by, let us know. And sometimes the family, the parents, they don't need a key to the kid's house. The new married couple, they need their boundaries. They need their security. And sure, it's easy. I get it. Practically speaking, it's good when your mom or your dad have a key to your place so that they can help, they can come over, they can bring things or take things, they can help with pets, they can be available in the event of an emergency. And if that's the situation that you're in, and you live near family, and your family have keys to your home, just be sure that you're very clear. Hey, we've got some boundaries. We need to set up our own home. So if you're coming over, just let us know you're coming over. and we'll be glad to have you. Otherwise, we need you to respect the boundaries that are necessary for the development of our marriage, for the formation of our marriage. You know, this is one of the reasons why marriage requires maturity. It calls for intentional transition, and it really requires us to step out of dependence, whether it be dependent emotionally or dependent financially. We've got to intentionally transition. And when this leaving doesn't happen, marriages struggle to become what God intends them to be. But when this leaving does happen, we're on the right track to having a marriage as God designed it. All right, that's point one. The second movement after leaving is cleaving, a covenant commitment. The next part of this verse says, and hold fast to his wife. So the husband is to leave his mama and his daddy, and he is to hold fast to his wife. This phrase, hold fast, literally means to cling, to be joined, to be bound. This is covenant language. Marriage in Scripture is not a contract where terms can be negotiated and renegotiated when feelings change. It is a covenant marked by permanence, faithfulness, and exclusivity. Contracts are built on mutual benefit. Covenants are built on committed love. Very clearly, friends, let's understand marriage is not a contract. It is a covenant. Our marriages are not sustained by emotion alone, because feelings, they rise and they fall, seasons change, circumstances shift. What holds a marriage together is not chemistry, it's commitment. Are we committed to each other? And cleaving means that we choose faithfulness even when it's hard. Cleaving means staying when it would be easier to leave. Cleaving in God's design means loving sacrificially, not conditionally. This is one of the reasons why Scripture consistently uses marriage as a picture of God's relationship with His people. God doesn't abandon His covenant people when they fail. He doesn't abandon His people when He doesn't feel like loving them because they're being unlovable. He doesn't negotiate the terms of His relationship with them. But he remains faithful to his covenant. And he calls husbands and wives to reflect that same steadfast love. All right, there's our second movement. Now let's consider our third movement. The first is leaving. The second is cleaving. And the third is one flesh, a holistic union. The final part of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. The Scripture says, and they shall become one flesh. Now, this phrase includes sexual union. One man, one woman, their bodies coming together, creating a single flesh. But it's far more than that. One flesh describes a total union. Spiritual, emotional, physical, relational. Marriage isn't just about two individuals sharing a space. That's called roommates, okay? Where they are coordinating life around each other. Marriage involves two lives being woven together by God, where communication takes place, where cohabitation, they live in the same place together. This is one of the reasons why Scripture treats sexual intimacy as sacred. It belongs within the covenant of marriage because it expresses and it reinforces the oneness that God intends. It's about sharing life, sharing identity, and sharing a future. When we consider what one flesh means, it also explains why broken marriages hurt so deeply. When something God joins together is torn apart, the pain, it's real. But there's also a grace-filled truth in the gospel. God redeems broken stories. While Genesis shows us God's design, the rest of the Scripture shows us God's mercy towards sinners, towards those who struggle, and towards those who have wounds. Marriage is a gospel picture. Genesis 2:24 doesn't really stand alone. It points forward. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells us that marriage is a mystery pointing to Christ and the church. Marriage is meant to preach the gospel, to show what faithful love and sacrificial service and covenant commitment look like. This means marriage is not an end in itself. It's a signpost. It's a signpost to everyone else. This is what the gospel should look like, and our marriages should display gospel realities. And even in singleness, every believer is called to reflect these gospel realities in their lives. Leave, cleave, and one flesh. These are the three movements that we see taking place across Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. But I want to provide, if I can, as we get ready to wrap this podcast episode up, I want to give you a few gentle pastoral applications. Number one, if you're married, this is for you. Would you ask whether your marriage is shaped more by culture or by Scripture? Would you ask, is our marriage, is it shaped more by culture and what culture says it should be, what culture influences it to be, or is it shaped by what Scripture says it should be and what Scripture influences it towards? And I would offer that you would make, regardless of how you answer that question, that you would make the decision to recommit to covenant faithfulness, not just emotional connection or contractual terms. Would you recommit to covenant faithfulness? What can I give regardless of what I get? All right. If you're single, this is for you. God's design for marriage still matters. It shapes how you view relationships, purity, and commitment. Singleness, as much as churches put an emphasis on marriage, and we're one of those, we also want to be very clear that singleness is not a deficiency. It's not a deficiency. It is about faithfulness and discipleship, and even in how you conduct yourself as a man or woman of Christ is an opportunity for you to demonstrate what faithfulness looks like, but it's also an opportunity for you to shape what relationships and display what purity looks like. All right. Another category. This is for those of you who have family stories that are painful. Perhaps it's a divorce. Perhaps it's crisis. Perhaps it's constant turmoil. If you have a family environment that is painful or a family story that is painful, here's what I want to share with you. A gentle pastoral application. God's design is not meant to condemn you. God's design, what marriage should look like, it can bring and stir in us emotions. I wished I would have handled this differently. I wished they would have handled this differently. I wished I wouldn't have been the victim to this particular situation. It's not meant to condemn you. It's meant to point you towards His grace. Redemption is always it's always possible in Christ. And if you are the guilty one, let me tell you, redemption is possible. If you were the victim in a situation, I want to tell you that restoration is possible in Jesus Christ. He can come, He can break away chains, He can heal wounds, and He can restore people and put them back on their feet again. So if you've experienced hardship, even if you are still, I want to encourage you. Go to the Lord with it. Ask Jesus to bring healing to your life and redemption to your story. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore additional topics. God's purpose for family. We're going to look at some biblical roles and responsibilities within the household. We're going to talk about parenting. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about forgiveness, as it's so important. But I want you to keep your eyes out for some bonus episodes. So typically, we'll launch this or we'll air this podcast every Friday and it'll reflect on the scripture. But within this 5-week series, Built to Last, there are opportunities for us to publish some bonus episodes. And I know that even within our congregation, my congregation, we have folks that live in non-typical, slightly different home environments. We have singleness, we have blended families, we have those who have been married but don't have children of their own. We have those that are empty nesters. We have widows and widowers. And all of these different demographics, they matter. They make up our church. They're a part of our family. And so I want you to keep an eye open for some bonus episodes coming out over the next month that would be related to particular environments like blended families or singleness or empty nesters or being married in our golden years. I intend on inviting some guests to come in and to have some conversations where we talk about some tips to make it and to live faithfully during those seasons, and even deal with some honest questions that need to be grappled with in personal life, but also within the life of a church. And so I look forward to those episodes. I want you to stay tuned for those that are coming up. But this series, it's about faithfulness, homes built on God's Word, and how they are built to last. Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode of Shaped by Scripture podcast. My name is Scott Thomas. It's been fantastic having you here, and I look forward to joining you for another conversation coming soon.